Who decides if a newly reopened workplace is safe? I'm David Brancaccio. First, the most populous state, California, is ending most pandemic restrictions today. This with the summer tourism season upon us. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports from California.
Yeah, David, starting today, mask mandates, social distancing requirements, capacity limits on businesses, they're lifted for the most part. There are some exceptions, such as public transit where people still have to wear masks. But yes, most of the limits imposed statewide are indeed over.
Much of the country's already lifted so many pandemic era mandates. What's held up your state there?
There's been some confusion here about what lifting restrictions means. For example, there's a separate set of rules for workplaces. Employees here still have to be masked. That may change later this week, allowing vaccinated workers to stop wearing masks. But for right now, they still have to. Officials also have been focused on increasing the state's vaccination rate, and that is now up to 47%. So they're feeling better about opening up.
Lots of tourists like to go to California. What's the impact in that industry?
Indeed. In fact, last year, the state's tourism industry lost $80 billion because of all the missing tourists. State officials care about this. Proof of that, today, California Governor Gavin Newsom is going to offer so-called dream vacation packages to L.A., San Francisco, and elsewhere to get more people vaccinated as an incentive. They did that with cash prizes. Now it's vacation packages. So they're highlighting tourism as they open up. And a prime tourist destination, Disneyland, is also opening up today to everyone, David.
Today. All right, Nova, thank you. As workplaces open up to employees, what are the new rules for lowering the chances of infection and promoting health and safety in general, you know, given what we've been through? Well, one answer is giving rank-and-file employees, non-supervisory people, a strong voice at the table. This is one requirement for businesses with more than 10 employees across the fourth most populous state, New York. Businesses are now awaiting full details of New York's Health and Essential Rights Act, NY HERO Act, it's called, signed into law in May. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra reports.
The law does a few things. It requires the New York State Department of Labor to come up with workplace standards, basically rules to prevent airborne infectious diseases. Those rules aren't out yet, but they will address things like social distancing, mask wearing, and ventilation. David Michaels at the George Washington University School of Public Health says to protect people from COVID, you need to use what's called the Swiss cheese model,
where you have different protections and the combination of them is the most effective. Masking makes a big difference, but sometimes the virus gets beyond the mask.
Same goes for distancing and ventilation. None of them is 100% effective. The law also says that workers have the right to refuse to work in unsafe conditions and that it's illegal to retaliate against them for raising safety concerns. And it requires companies to allow workers to form safety committees. Colby Berman is a labor and employment lawyer.
They're going to have to make sure that these workplace safety committees are able to meet without reduction of pay, attend training without reduction of pay.
And the committees have to be made up of at least two-thirds non-management employees.
So, you know, unlike any other business feature where it's, you know, management runs all, this is now suddenly very democratized.
One concern about the law is that it's not specific enough. Ken Polkowski at the Business Council of New York State says, for example, it's not clear how those safety committees would be formed. Would you need a majority vote?
To say I'm a setting with, you know, between 50 and 100 employees, and three of them want to create a committee, and 97 don't, what happens?
It's also unclear how the law will apply to other airborne infectious diseases like the flu. And in the case of COVID, whether the rules will stay in place as vaccination rates increase and case numbers drop further. Once the rules are published, businesses that don't follow them can face fines, starting at $50 a day. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, Britain has announced it is delaying the next phase of its reopening by about a month amid concerns about a variant of the coronavirus. It's July 19th now for the reopening, this despite new data that vaccines are effective against variants, including this Delta variety. Let's do the numbers. Yeah, the S&P future is up by less than a 10th percent. The Dow future is down 10 points. The NASDAQ future is up a 10th percent. The AEX stock index in Amsterdam is up 0.2%. In an improving economy with retail spending on the rise, one indicator we're monitoring is consumer borrowing. A report this week from the New York Federal Reserve finds that people are finding it easier to obtain credit now compared with a year ago. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Lenders and credit card companies are trying to capitalize on the surge in spending this year. Andrew Davidson at Compra Media says credit card marketing is up and people are noticing.
They start to see those offers in the mail. They start to see those ads online. And of course, interest rates are low.
That doesn't necessarily mean consumers will accept all those offers. Tim Quinlan, senior economist at Wells Fargo, says many people are still sitting on a lot in savings.
And so their demand for credit is a lot lower than it otherwise would be coming out of recession.
Quinlan says there are some purchases that might require more borrowing. For instance, new and used cars, which are getting more expensive because of supply chain bottlenecks and the shortage of semiconductor chips.
And so that is creating at least some demand for consumer loans at this stage of the game.
Other recent Fed data show that while credit card debt has been decreasing, auto loan balances are on the rise. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And is the answer to all questions plastics, artificial intelligence, crypto, anything? No, it is accountancy. Listen to your Uncle David here. There's news that PricewaterhouseCoopers is going on a 5-year hiring bonanza, 100,000 people it wants to recruit and train. According to the Financial Times today, it's not just any accounting. The focus is hiring people with the skills to help companies account for the effects of their activities on the environment and on society. Our producers are Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.